What a joy. My name is Mark Sumter. I serve as the regional home missionary on behalf of our presbytery and on behalf of our denomination. And just say one other word about that. You folks pray so much for us. My wife's name is Peggy. You pray for us regularly. We know that. We seek to be here as often as we can, and we know the brothers, the elders who are leading us in prayer. They pray for us, and we're very grateful for all of that. We know your prayers are there, and that is so critical and so vital to the ministry. A regional home missionary is indeed a missionary. There's a large field I'll talk about in just a moment, a large field that I have a responsibility in terms of helping churches to get started. So it's planting. Sometimes we use that agricultural analogy there of a seed that gets planted and then something sprouts and grows. And that's often what we will say in terms of starting churches. Paul the Apostle will say in 1 Corinthians 3 that indeed there is the watering, and there's the watering and the planting, and the planting and the watering and the cultivation, and God gives the increase. So that's that imagery for us there. So very thankful for your prayers for this effort. I have a number of slides to go through this morning, and very, very thankful for that. I'd like to lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Father, for the wonderful opportunity this morning to be edified and encouraged in our faith. Lord, it is you tending to your church, shepherding your church, and the cultivation of the gospel, like the scattered seed of the parable, that the sower goes and he scatters. Lord, this is your work, this is your doing, and we thank you for what you are doing, God. It's all of you. We praise you, we thank you now. Thank you for this day to honor you, serve you, to be with your people, to be encouraged in the things of Christ. And may you receive the glory, and may, Lord, you lead us with encouragement and service and purpose to live for the Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. Very good. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, the opening words of Ephesians 4, he says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And so the centrality there of those opening words of chapter 4 is that he's now urging the church to walk in a manner worthy of the calling they have received. They've been called in Christ, which that external call is the preaching of the word. Pastor Robert will bring the word of God to us Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And that's that external call. God is calling people to come and trust in Jesus, come and live in Jesus, to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also the internal call. That's the Spirit working upon the heart of the person, man, woman, or child. And the Spirit working on that heart, illuminating, bringing brightness of light into the heart, understanding and grasping Christ and the man, woman, or child's need for Christ. And that internal call happens as well. Brother David Brack is there preaching for us. Right, David? Who's that old man up there? And David, a pastor in the OPC for many, many years, is exercising his gifts with that external call, preaching the gospel. And it's the Spirit's gracious way of then working in our hearts to believe, to walk in, to repent from sin and cling to Christ and to live for the Lord Jesus with his people, the body. And the slide here is emphasizing the fact that as a congregation of the Lord, we have a walk together. It's primarily pursuing unity. Paul will say that, right? Preserving, promoting that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's right there in the passage for us. It includes purity. That's what's going to be coming later in these verses in chapter 4. To, you know, put away sinfulness and the old man, and to put on Jesus and to live in Christ. It's purity, Lord, I'm here for your service. And then peace. He'll speak some about peace as well in terms of to bear with one another, forgiving each other, peace, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you, to walk in love, to walk in that love in the sense that Jesus himself gave himself as a pleasing sacrifice. Remember that pleasing sacrifice, that aroma that will arise as a pleasing sacrifice unto the Father. So in Christ's strength and Christ's cross work for us, the work of the Spirit in our hearts, we're to pursue peace. Forgiveness with God, forgiveness with one another. And you might summarize it this way. It's our worship and our witness. Fundamental truths about our calling as a church. So here you are at Cornerstone, and your pastor and your session continue to shepherd you, care for you, bring God's word to you, pray with you, pray for you, all with a view that we're pursuing that calling in a worthy way, having an eye on the unity, purity, the peace of the church. And we know, right? We know that we're not here for ourselves. We're here for God's glory, that that glory would be spread to others, so that others here in Jersey Village and this northwest part of Houston will hear of Christ, learn of Christ, and come and worship and glorify God with us as well. And that's what we're doing as a presbytery. That's our witness as a presbytery here in the Southwest. I serve underneath a committee. There's a committee of men, five men, who basically together collectively make up to be my boss. I serve this committee. It's the Committee on Home Missions. And the committee has its own purpose to promote the interest in the work of home missions, spreading the gospel, building churches, to promote the interest in the work of home missions within the regional church. That's another way we speak of a presbytery. A presbytery is a region. It's typically a geographically bound region of the United States, and we refer to that as a regional church or the presbytery. And then also to encourage, this is part of the purpose as well for the Home Missions Committee, to encourage and assist churches. And that's like you, Cornerstone. You are a particular congregation with your elders and your called pastor, Pastor Robert Arendale. You are self-sustaining with your own budget. And you are growing in this particular field of Northwest Houston. You are a particular congregation. So part of our job is to encourage you and to assist you to establish new churches. And you're doing that, right? Let's get a big grin on our face this morning, right? Okay, I'm being silly, but you know, praise God for Cornerstone Church. You are a mother congregation for those of us, as you're going to see a little bit more, of the Lord's work and service and witness in Southwest Houston. So when you have Pastor Robert and the brothers who are our elders praying repeatedly with great devotion, you as a congregation are birthing, you're helping to birth a church, to give birth to a church in Southwest Houston, and you're praying for us, you're encouraging us. Several of you have been to those meetings, we'll talk about that, but that's what's happening. So you're exhibit A, you're pursuing the cause, you're pursuing this purpose with great faith and love and devotion. And thank you so much for that as well. Hey, the big icon down below there, the picture for the harvest, is something brand new that's only been up on the internet for about 6-8 months now. If you go to For the Harvest OPC, fortheharvestopc.org, that is a website devoted to church planting in the Southwest. That we will have a newsletter up there, some other pictures, a map is up there. And we have folks who are giving online to help For the Harvest, which is to help church planting. in the presbytery. Right now we have seven who are giving to that ministry. We're very thankful for that. We have a sort of an effort going on for our giving of $25 a month for that ministry. And that's all, again, helping to promote church planting in the OPC. Fundamentally, though, we want to be rooted in the gospel. Him we proclaim. This is from Colossians 1:28. What a wonderful purpose statement for a local church. Him we proclaim. Caps, all capitalized there, the Lord Jesus. Him we proclaim, doing what? Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Goes on to say to see that person is made mature and complete in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28. The two words here for warning and teaching. Warning is that fundamental word of indeed pulling folks back from sin, to confront them about sin. And that is so Orthodox Presbyterian. It is. That's in our DNA, is to defend the faith. Defend the faith. Set forth the truth. This is truth. This is error. This is sin. This is repentance. This is darkness. This is light. This is hopelessness. This is hope. Warning everyone, men, women, and children. The next word there is teaching. So if we're calling on one hand to correct and to defend with truth and to warn, on the other hand, it's teaching to is to it, literally the word there is it's the old Testament word to throw it down, to throw what down, to disseminate hope. To throw down is the old word for teaching, and that's to throw down, to give away. Give away hope, give away comfort, to give away putting on Christ. So it's in a nutshell, the Apostle Paul is telling us in Jesus Christ, our mission is to have folks put off sin and put on Christ. Put off sin and put on Christ. Comforting. If one is to confront, the other one's to comfort. With all wisdom, seeking that men and women, the body of Christ, would grow up to be complete in Christ Jesus. We recognize some of these children, right? Miller and Stephanie, Carl and Stacy, right? Here we go. Very nice. We're rooted in the gospel. This is a quote from John R.W. Stott. The incarnation was the most spectacular instance of cultural identification in the history of mankind. For the Son of God did not stay in the safe immunity of his heaven, remote from sin and tragedy. He actually entered into our world. He emptied himself of his glory and humbled himself to serve. He took our nature, lived our life, endured our temptations, experienced our sorrows, felt our hurts, died our death. He penetrated deeply into our humanness. He never stayed aloof from the people he might have expected to avoid. He made friends with the dropouts of society. He even touched untouchables. He could not have become more one with us than he did. It was total identification of love. And the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is aiming to hold with the right hand and the left hand truth and love, truth and love. To come alongside of folks who are outside of Christ, come alongside of folks who are weak, maybe in Jesus Christ, but weak in faith or weak in understanding, and to serve with them, open our arms to them, learn to love them, to love with them, learn from them in terms of our aim unto Christ. But it's found, our strength is found in the Lord Jesus, that he first came, and he is our life. And living in him, we seek then to serve others by building churches. Here are our current mission works. These are actual congregations that are being supported by your giving, by the giving of presbytery, by the giving of the denomination. And I know you know the Moody's because of some of their background with us here, right? Yeah. So they're serving there at San Antonio Reformed, Andrew and Billy, continuing to grow, doing well. They now have elders. Praise God for that. They're just about ready to finish off with their monthly support, financial support that they receive from our denomination, but making great progress. And the Lord is continuing to minister to them. And you can catch up with the Moody's, you know, like on Facebook, or he has also a weekly sort of pastor's update that he gives, similar to what Pastor Robert will do for us. But they are they're near the airport in San Antonio there. They have their own building in terms of like a storefront and continuing to grow. One of the neat things that's happening right now that Andrew's doing is he's working alongside of a man who I believe now has a master's degree in counseling. And Andrew and this gentleman are working close in terms of trying to expand their counseling ministry. So that's a new aspect of their ministry that they're doing there. Below there to the left is, again, the church is South Austin Presbyterian, very, very similar to San Antonio Reformed. South Austin, in that it's still a mission work because it still is receiving support. They do have their own elders. They, too, are getting closer and closer to wrapping up their financial support. This is Jim and Eve Cassidy. Jim and Eve Cassidy. They've been there now about 3.5 years. And continuing to grow as well. But they've had a certain wrinkle just happen to them. And I know we can understand this wrinkle. They've had a building wrinkle. That's to say, they've hit a bump in their road. They're growing. They're probably in the high 50s, low 60s on a Sunday. Maybe more like low 50s, mid 50s on a Sunday morning. But the bump in the road they've hit is that they were meeting for a while in a municipality-type building, a government building of some kind. Very nice, you know, high ceiling. I understand. I've not been able to worship there just yet. But excellent for acoustics and for worship, congregational singing. It's served them well, and it's been very, very inexpensive. But about 4 weeks ago, the municipality knocked on their door, came to visit them, and said, we're going to be doing some outside excavation around this building, and you have 4 weeks, and you'll need to vacate. So this Lord's Day today, and then next Sunday will be their last two Sundays, and they are scrambling to look for a building right now. So pray for them on a new building. I understand that they're still searching for that. But they're doing well. They're there, and again, it's a south suburb of Austin, and they're continuing to grow and carry out outreach. They've had Bible studies in a variety of places. Again, one of the things they've done before in last year or so has been they've been doing outreach at a juvenile hall, kind of a youth ranch, a halfway home for young people. So they've had a deliberate outreach to young people there. So it's been very, very encouraging for them. Trinity OPC is in Waco. This is Jason and Amanda Kirkland. Jason is an ordained minister. He's been in the OPC about 6-7 years now. He was serving as an associate pastor in Columbus, Ohio for 4 or 5 years, and then took this call at Trinity OPC there in Waco. Jason's been on the field now as a home missionary for us July 1st, July 2017. So it's all been the last 6-7 months, all brand new. But Waco is continuing to grow and to make progress. Very thankful for them that they have as an oversight session. It's one of our churches in Dallas. So the elders are in Dallas, and the congregation is there in Waco. Continue to pray for them because they've just started their support, but they know, okay, they've got typically in the OPC, it's a 4-year schedule of financial support for a church plant. So they're just now beginning that 4-year support schedule. But pray because they know they need to be reaching out and seeking to get the gospel out, whether it be to Baylor students there at Baylor University or others in the community. Most particularly, they just moved about 2 months ago. It must have been about, I'd say, early December. They moved to a Christian school, sort of auditorium, but that Christian school is located in a part of Waco where in Jason's words, it's in a community, in a part of Waco, that would be folks that typically are not like us in the OPC, and we want to learn how to love them. We want to learn how to listen to them. And so Jason is very much wanting to serve that community well. He's beginning to do some door-to-door ministry and meeting folks, listening to their concerns and needs, praying with folks. And that's what's going on there. Trinity OPC in Waco. Let me stop here. Questions, thoughts, comments thus far? Questions, comments, thoughts thus far? These are the current mission works that we have in the presbytery. Yes, Randy. You did. It was September 17, I believe. Yeah,
so,
something like that.
So this church actually is very thankful for this work. Hmm. And this work is, our church is a byproduct or a direct result, part of the harvest, if I may.
Sure.
Of everything that Mark is talking about today. And praise the Lord.
Well, and what's so exciting, folks, is... You're already beginning to experience having people who worship with you, who drive here from another part of Houston, and so you're in that regard, you're in that place of learning, growing, taking part, of reproducing yourselves, what you've been learning, what you've gone through, so on and so forth. It's helping us. It's assisting, guiding, and being available to us in Southwest Houston. Thank you, Randy, for that. Here are the current mission groups. We make a distinction between a mission work and maybe and what might be called a group. It could be a Bible study group. Frankly, it already might be an existing church, believe it or not. They might be, let me give you a quick example. We would still refer to them as a mission group from our standards, but let's say there's an independent Baptist congregation that over the past 9 years has been slowly moving into Presbyterian and Reformed faith and life. That's an existing congregation. But they're not yet fully able to support themselves, or this happens as they're going through this journey, this theological change. People may not be on board with that, and they lose folks along the way. They'll say, well, if you're going to be going in a Presbyterian and Reformed direction, I'm not sure I can stay here. But they've been meeting as a church. They have a pastor, and we begin then, if they knock on our door, they'll say, we think we're interested in being an OPC. Well, then we will begin to work with them as well and help them. I mean, you know, all things being equal, to begin working with them, helping them, supporting them. So they might actually be further down the road in many respects of beyond what these groups might be that are on the screen right now. But we have Bible study groups, and then sometimes we have a church that's been meeting. But because of how God has been leading them, they then contact us, and then, God willing, we have an opportunity to assist them and help them, support them. As they come on into the OPC, as we say. The picture on the right is the presbytery. So those are our three states. It's actually not all of Oklahoma. The eastern part of Oklahoma, where Tulsa, Bartlesville, that there's like a vertical line north to south, eastern Oklahoma, that is actually a part of another existing presbytery right now. It's called the Presbytery of the Central U.S., but virtually almost all of Oklahoma belongs to the Presbytery of the Southwest, then all of New Mexico and Texas. So these are the current groups that are happening, and we've been referencing already Southwest Houston, New Braunfels, Texas, El Paso, and then Wichita Falls. You know, I should say something about Wichita Falls because I won't say much more about them at this point, I mean later on, so let me say something now. This group in Wichita Falls, way up north in Texas here, is called Reforming Fellowship of Wichita Falls. And this is one of their Bible study handouts. They're meeting twice a month now. And they have a psalm printed inside here, and then some notes about prayer. They are studying the Westminster Shorter Catechism, our guide, a summary guide of the Bible, the Shorter Catechism, and they're going through the sections on prayer. And so they call themselves Reforming Fellowship of Wichita Falls, and they have around 20 people who are meeting. And there's only one person, some of you in the room might know, that we actually used to have a congregation at Wichita Falls. There's only one person left from that particular group that's now with this group. So these are all brand new folks. We've met with them about four times. They haven't yet quite made the commitment saying, yep, we want to go into the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. They're getting close. But they're dear folks. Eager, they're very energetic, a lot of young families, a lot of young people, I should say. Delightful people, getting acquainted with them, and possibly, I should actually put that word possibly down near Wichita Falls, Texas there. They may come on in and say, yes, we'd like to affiliate and come underneath the guidance of the OPC as we continue to make progress. But pray for Wichita Falls as well. They are on their way with their meetings. And it looks promising, looks very promising there. So Southwest Houston, we've been known as the Good Shepherd Bible Study for some time, and I went ahead and put up there today the gsopc.org. It's brand new for us. Thank you, Phil, for updating that for us. So if you ever want, you know, you're on the internet and you want to find out more about what's happening in Southwest Houston with the Good Shepherd, you can now go to gsopc.org. So we're very delighted. Again, you folks have been so instrumental for all that's been happening here with us. One new feature is our brother Miller Ansel serving with us. And he's been on board with us since July. He and Stephanie and the children have been with us since July. This is a brand new program for the OPC. We have two church planting interns in our denomination this year. And so the OPC made that announcement saying we think we have enough money to be able to fund two different positions. And so one man is serving in Florida and one man is serving here with us in Houston, Texas. And so Miller's been very instrumental with us. He's carrying out a lot of work on our behalf at Good Shepherd. And we are seeing just some excellent things get off the ground, get underway, and we're very, very encouraged here. You've known the middle picture there. You've known that we've had a literature ministry for many, many months now, whether it be going to a park or on a street corner, giving away gospel literature, what have you, maybe making calls on families that we get to know and we drop off some literature to them. But that's been it's been sort of a signature feature of our ministry as well. Let me just mention one other as well. This is something that Miller and I and a few others have been doing. Is I reach for the Trinity hymnal here. It's because for a number of weeks, we've actually gone to a Mr. Car Wash car wash in Sugar Land. And we have sought permission, and they've granted permission. And so Miller and I typically, and there might be a few others that join, we have hymnals in hand, and we are standing here on the asphalt, and just directly in front of us might be 6, 7, 8, 10 cars who have gone through the car wash machinery, and that car comes out, and then it's parked, and then, of course, there's a crew from Mr. Car Wash, employees, who are doing the detail work on the car. And while all that activity is going on, one last thing, over to our right over here is the customer waiting area. So maybe 15 steps away from us, 10 steps away, 3, 4, 5, 6 customers waiting upon their cars to be finished. And we've received permission to go and sing So we will sing the car wash blues. No, that's a joke. We don't sing car wash. We sing from the Trinity hymnal, right? And it has been a blessing. It has been a blessing. We've had folks just stop by. I mean, some of the employees, they'll come alongside over here, and you know, we've had some of these men. There's three or four women out there too. They're employees. They'll just, you know, they'll touch their heart, and like, you know, it's like this is hitting them in some way emotionally. We've had conversations with folks. Some of the customers will walk by and just say, amen, keep singing. Some will say, I can't believe you guys are doing this. You know, I mean, what are you guys drinking? You know, no. But it's been a joy. We haven't taken the next step that we need to really take is because we've been able to now meet several and learn their names. The next step is really to have a Bible study over there. So after hours, we might, you know, bring a pizza in, maybe have some chairs in the back of my truck or some of my rig. And point is, we, you know, once their hours are done, they're off work, maybe from 6 to 6:30, just 30 minutes. Bring pizza in for them once a week or every couple of weeks, bring a pizza over, sit down and read some scripture to them. We think there's a possibility of that happening. We just haven't, frankly, taken that step to do that. But keep praying for the outreach that's going on. The session met with us, probably it's been now, it has to be 5 months ago now, back in, you know, September, October. When I say that, specifically to give us this part of encouragement, they've said to us, brothers, we know you've been doing a lot of outreach to people out there on the streets and meeting people door to door, what have you. You need to strengthen your outreach to see if there are reformed families that haven't yet found you that are living down in Southwest Houston. So we've been trying to do more and more of that. I don't have a flyer with me here this morning, but something that's actually just more overt. Now, this is our own, you know, OPC flyer that you have back on your table. But we've been trying to get out information that's just more overtly about the Reformed faith and the Reformed doctrine and get that into the hands of people. We've probably distributed about 150 of those flyers to businesses and places of the marketplace, just getting the word out on them. Very, very thankful for what's going on. Last Sunday night was our very first worship service. There were 35 people there. About 20 of us would be our regular Good Shepherd folks, and the other 15, about 15, both from your congregation here at Cornerstone and from Providence Church as well. So we are starting now evening services. You might see Betty Jean Larson there at the piano, off to the left there. So she's helping us with our singing. And Brother Miller will be bringing the Word of God to us, Lord willing, each week. And he's starting a brand new series in 1 Timothy. So we're very thankful for what's happening. That's Adam York, right at the back row there. Adam and Pam to the left, their daughter Anna. So Adam was there that night. And I know you're going to see, if we study this, you'd see David Bracken there. And Carl and Stacy, their kids were there. So we praise God for the support and encouragement that we're receiving. Keep praying for us. We're anticipating that Miller will become a called, ordained minister and to stay with us, God willing. That's all being formalized even as we speak here in the month of March. And he'll be, Lord willing, examined in May and to stay with us and to be a pastor here as God would so open that door for us. As we say, I should say this because it's important to say for all of us in terms of, you know, home missions. God willing, Miller gets examined. God willing, Miller survives that exam. We love you, brother. The point is, what we do in the OPC, it's very common. He would not be the pastor of the church. I misspoke, and that's why I caught myself when I said that. He would not be the pastor of the church. He would be called as an evangelist. We, as a Bible study group in Southwest Houston, can't call him. We're not a church. So there's always the approach, which is very healthy, there's always the approach that a brother would come and serve as an evangelist, but he yet needs to receive a call someday, a call to be, in this case, maybe the pastor of Good Shepherd someday. So in one sense, he would still have liberty to say, you know, I don't really think God's calling me here to Southwest Houston. He's an evangelist still. He hasn't received a call just yet to pastor this local church. So he'd have that liberty to say, maybe this really is not the best fit for me, or God is calling me to another form of ministry, what have you. And at the same time, the folks of Good Shepherd, who, God willing, over time increasingly become members here at Cornerstone, but the folks here at Good Shepherd, they're walking along that same road with Miller. And the Good Shepherd folks might say, Miller, we've appreciated your work as an evangelist, but as we're getting closer and closer to calling our first pastor, we ourselves, you know, we always have to be tender with this, I understand, but we ourselves believe this would not be a good fit for you. And we'd like to open it up to a larger field, of a pool of men who might become candidates to serve us. You see that? So there's that, he's an evangelist. He has liberty to determine God's call in his life, decision-making, his own desires, and the congregation, which is really not a church yet, but the group that's there at Southwest, is as well thinking through, talking through, praying through, would this individual be a good fit for us as a pastor, or should we open that pool up to a larger group of men who might become our pastor? I'd say just a word or two here about the disaster relief ministry. This has been an incredible blessing. I thought about thinking about an association wordplay here with you this morning. You know, if I say salt, you say
pepper,
salt, pepper. Good. It's early for us still. But if I said Hurricane Harvey, what would you say? You got it. What else? Rain. Flood, water. David? Help. Yeah. We have all experienced a lot with this ministry, but there have been we're probably now breaking about 160 volunteers who have come to serve. We're probably somewhere between $275,000 and $300,000 that have been donated for this ministry. And the outreach just continues to go. And so keep praying for that ministry. I know you folks, you've been right in the middle of it all. You know, you folks have been right in the middle of it all. There is some little discussion going on. I'm going to say it again. Little discussion going. We might be able to be in a place to maybe have another man come and serve who would help us do evangelism in Houston with families that have been hurt and with these hardships. We don't know if that's actually going to happen or not, but it's being talked about a little bit. So we'll see. Quickly, let me highlight for you New Braunfels, Texas. These folks are getting ready to start worship as well in 2 weeks. Actually, it's 2 weeks. March 25th is when they'll start their Lord's Day worship. New Braunfels is about 45 minutes, 50 minutes north of San Antonio, about an hour south, hour and 20 minutes south of the South Austin area as well. Comal County is a rapidly growing county there, right there on Interstate 35. These folks have been meeting for about a year and a half. They've gone through the book of Ephesians. They've done some other studies as well, but they're ready to start their Lord's Day worship. Very thankful for what they're doing. They have probably, like I say, around 20 folks, maybe four families that are from a Presbyterian and Reformed background. Two of the families are members of the OPC at our church at South Austin. But these folks make a long drive to go up to South Austin. That's what's happening. They're making a long drive to go to South Austin to go to worship, and they're eager to get something started there in New Braunfels. That's a picture of Phil Lovelady. He and his wife, Tamara, are kind of the principal lead Bible study leaders. He and his wife and another couple in the room there are members at South Austin. I always put this on the screen with these new groups that are happening. If you know of folks in Comal County, know of folks in San Marcos, Canyon Lake, New Braunfels, Schertz, Texas, those places, let us know. Contact me, see me. Be happy to then get names and phone numbers and make connections here so the people at New Braunfels might reach out to them. Again, the South Austin Church, kind of like you folks, so to back up to South Austin Presbyterian, where Jim Cassidy's the pastor, their session is giving oversight to New Braunfels. El Paso, brand new. There is a gentleman out there. He's a ruling elder. His name is Juan Carlos Bruselas. He's a ruling elder in the OPC. He and his wife, Carmen, and son live out there. He's an attorney. They've only been living in El Paso for about a year and a half now at the most. And his name surfaced, and a couple of other ministers brought his name to my attention. I called him up. I've gone out to visit them. But he and his wife and their son and a few others are very interested in starting something in El Paso. So we're trying to investigate with this website that perhaps there might be people in El Paso who might hear of the OPC, or maybe they are on the computer and they're looking for something of Presbyterian and a Reformed congregation, and perhaps this would come up as well. We're thinking very much that this ministry will be some form of a bilingual ministry. So we're praying that maybe God would raise up a man suitable for such a bilingual ministry. We're not absolutely certain of that, but that's the direction that we're praying and where we're thinking. Church planting. How do you eat an elephant? How do you eat a breakfast biscuit, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So church planting is a challenge. Church planting is also filled with wonder and marvel of answered prayer. It's a joy to serve in this ministry, and thank you for your prayers regarding this ministry as we take one bite at a time in planting these churches. A quote that I will leave you with from one of our OPC ministers, I believe he died in the 60s. He taught at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. His last name is Kuyper. He writes in his book, The Glorious Body. It's a wonderful quote here in terms of church planting, the work of the church. In comparison with the glory of the world, the glory of the church seems utterly despicable. The overwhelming majority of men constitute the world. The church consists of a small minority. The world is rich in material possessions. The church is poor. The world is powerful. The church is weak. The world boasts of its wisdom. The church declares the foolish gospel. Amazing as it may seem, the insignificant church is out to conquer the imposing world. Not only is it striving to do this, it is succeeding and surpassing, strange to say. Not only is victory in sight for the church, it is a present reality. Amen. We need those words, don't we? We need those words. Based on the gospel, Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. He's the ascended King. And he rules and he defends, he protects, he guards, he promotes, he prospers, strengthens his church. And it's the gospel that will topple, you know, the wisdom of this age. It's the gospel that will comfort the sorrowing of this age, right? And he builds his church. And in Jesus Christ, we preach, we teach, we minister. That's why you have your Bible studies, brothers and sisters. That's why your elders pray for you. That's why they will visit you. Because they're busy about the work of Jesus' reign and ministry that the gospel will flourish. So anyway, that's the background here. We're basically at our closing time, but maybe you have a question or two that we can just finish out with, and then I'll close this in prayer. Yes, Abby?
I just kind of make a comment on y'all pushing forward labeling the Reformed Church, because that's finally what happened with us now 6 years ago. Was Andrew Moody finally got it listed on Google, so it was actually when we searched Reformed this came up.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Absolutely.
The advertising is so important.
It is. We still have the Houston Reform website as a central hub. And many find us via that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We're very, very similar in many respects. For example, we both share the same publishing house for Sunday school materials and Bible study materials called Great Commission Publications. those kinds of ministries like that we share. We oftentimes will do youth camps and other things where there's a mutual participation that way. Probably the area that we are most different is how the two churches view one. It's very specific. I'm going to get right down to the weeds real very much so. One would be how we view the role of the ruling elder. That's a PCA minister giving that information to me. So the OPC has the tendency to elevate the ruling elder and seek his wisdom and involvement, participating at the General Assembly level, the presbytery level, certainly the local church level. This PCA minister went on to say, Mark, our tradition is that we typically don't elevate the ruling elder like the OPC will do. It's a very general statement, but it does get down to the weeds of a practical area that would be a difference. Thank you for that. There was one other hand. Yes, Steve?
Isn't there also a lot of variety in
practice?
Sure.
Yes. In the OPC, thank you, Steve. In the OPC, there'll be a variety. There'll be a variety. In the PCA, there'll be a variety. So there'll be a variety in the OPC, and there'll be a variety in the PCA. We better stop here. Let me lead us in prayer. Gracious Father, in this work of the gospel, we come once again asking for your Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts and our words and our deeds. God, especially as we think here at Cornerstone and the work of Southwest Houston, we once again pray for your help, for your strength, and for the glory and the riches of the wonders and marvels of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. May he be set forth in that part of our city and to build that work there. We thank you for these things, Lord. Thank you for all these matters about which we have spoken this morning, the encouragement that we receive from your word and your spirit. Help us now, even as we give you our hearts in worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.